All right, welcome back to KNBR. Carey Crowley, Bill Lasky on the Giants pregame show as we get you to that 6:05 starting point when Kevin Gausman throws that first pitch on the hill at Oracle Park. Our guest today, you can hear him on the leadoff spot Monday through Friday at 4:54 a.m. Let's bring in Adam Copeland to the show. Good afternoon, Adam.
4:54, you're putting me on like 6 minutes early now, Bill.
I'm Wait a minute, that's what Raph told me. Raph gave me that information. 4:54, he told me. You're on early every day.
I think you meant 4:54 p.m., like right now. Like that's what Raph was getting at.
How you doing today, Adam?
I'm good, man. My girlfriend's cooking a lasagna from scratch. We got a couple bottles of wine. Some friends are coming over. We're going to watch the ball game. A couple of UFC fights. Should be a fun Saturday.
You're all set, my friend. You're all set. Well, the Giants finished last year 19-14 at Oracle Park. This year they're 7-1 so far. Tell me your ideas of what you saw last year compared to the start they're having this year.
Well, I think what's sort of funny is, like, during the World Series years, the Giants, like, they were good at home. And generally you have to be good at home to be a playoff team, but they sort of had teams that were conducive to their style of ballpark, right, where they were great pitching teams, and so they had a big pitching-style ballpark, and so they were able to find success there, which has been sort of funny to think about Pablo Sandoval hitting 3 World Series home runs in Oracle Park, right, in one game. But ever since they moved that fence in center field, and they, you know, they talked last year about how they've closed up that tunnel out there, or sort of the wind tunnel out in right field, the port walk tunnel, it's been favorable for offense, definitely. We saw Jazz Chisholm hit that home run last night. That was kind of a no-doubter, and those things aren't easy to put out, like where you just automatically know they're leaving the ballpark. So I think the fact that they're hitting well at home is fantastic, but it's more for me about them finding different ways to win and different guys contributing each and every day. They're playing 500 ball on the road, and they're, what are they, 7-1 or something at home right now? So this is a great start for them, and if they can continue to win series and play 500 ball away from Oracle and win series at home, they have a damn good shot at being in the mix come September.
Copes, I feel like when you give away your weekend plans, it feels like we're talking to Marty. You know, you're at the farmer's market one weekend, you're having lasagna and having friends over to watch TV tonight. You sound like you're 70 years old these days. So I'm thrown off by the weekend plans, man.
Yeah, well, you know, we've been locked inside for a year. I'm trying to mix it up now. We got to do different things. I also feel like if I just let you guys know I'm sitting at home doing nothing, staring at the wall, waiting for Raph to give me a call every Saturday, that doesn't sound good either. So I try to spruce it up a little bit, you know.
Hey, we appreciate it, Coach. So last night we get a chance to see Alex Wood, and 7 innings of one hit ball. It was great. But what struck me most about that performance was the pace with which he threw. And I'm wondering, you're so good at drawing comparisons to previous Giants and pitchers around the league. I don't necessarily know that you have anyone in mind in Giants history who has a motion like Alex Wood. And this is someone we talked about on the show this weekend. But I wonder who works with the pace like he does. Who strikes you as just the quick hitting, he's in control, he's in command of this game type of game that Alex Wood brings to the table?
That's interesting. That's a good pace is a tough one to compare, because he's weird, because he's a herky jerky thrower. Like the way he releases the ball, I think about, you know, Jazz Chisholm left-handed hitting that home run yesterday, the way Kruko says, like, he's a bunch of knees and elbows coming at you. He doesn't look like he's a comfortable at bat. He doesn't throw super hard, but if he can, like, locate the fastball 89 to 93, that 93 kind of jumps on you based on how the ball leaves his hand. Just a sort of like a deceiving release point, or a guy with a really live arm where I think the ball gets on you faster. How about we go another 57? We can go with slinging Johnny Sanchez. Johnny Sanchez was a guy who, I don't know that his pace was quite the same, and I don't know that his location or his ability to spot pitches was nearly as good as Alex Wood's. He would get a hair up his nose and would, you know, lose it for 4 or 5 batters in a row sometimes. I think Alex Wood has a little bit better control, but just as far as where the release point is with the ball coming out of his hand, how Johnny Sanchez was able to sort of hide the ball a little bit behind him. You know, Bumgarner sort of did that same thing with the slinging from the left side, but you know, I don't know if there's a great Giants comp for that. He was a lot of fun last night, and when I think he's one of these guys who could be effectively wild on nights that he doesn't have his best stuff, just because of how deceiving he is out of the windup.
You know, Adam, the Giants starting pitching have logged the second most innings coming in today with 112 and 2/3 innings pitched for the year. This pace is pretty damn good for the starting five. What do you see moving forward? Is it going to go just the same, do you think, or do you think there might be a hiccup or two down the road?
I think it'd be foolish to think there won't be a hiccup, right? I mean, it's a baseball season. We're going to play this thing for 6 months, and we've already seen it with the infield this week. Like, this is an older team, and I think we kind of forget that. You know, I was just talking about different contributors. It seems like every game you're getting Ruff hitting a home run here, then you get Yaz hitting one here, and you get a stellar pitching performance there, and it seems like they're piecing together these wins, which are the marks, I think, of a good team. However, if the older guys on the team continue to sort of get dinged up, I mean, Johnny Cueto, losing him after a couple of fantastic starts to open the season, that's a real blow to the rotation. And now when it's Logan Webb's start, we're kind of like, all right, is this going to be a game where the Giants can hang around? And can they get more than 4 or 5 innings out of Logan Webb? So there are going to be hiccups, but I think the point of this was, and we're already starting to see it, was that the Giants are deeper with their pitching, at least to start this year, than I think we thought they were initially. It's a lot of new faces. It's a lot of new names. DeSclafani's been fantastic. I think as long as he can stay healthy, he's a guy who can pitch into the, you know, 170, 180 inning mark, assuming he makes all his starts this year. And then you start looking at the other guys. You had a conversation with Scott Kazmir. There's guys like Nick Trupiano down there who are throwing the ball pretty well at the alternate site. So at some point, they're going to have to dip into those guys. They're going to need some more help. It's just a matter of when that time comes and if they can continue to get outs. And getting Johnny Cueto back is going to be a huge boost for them as long as he can come back and stay healthy. That could set him off and running for the foreseeable future as long as he's able to stay on the field.
Hey, Copes, this is something that we talked about on our podcast this week and something that I also asked Henry Schulman about earlier in the show, but how much has your perception of Gabe Kapler as a manager changed over the last 80 games? You know, he's 60 games into last year, 20 games into this season. We're almost halfway through a full 162 of Gabe Kapler. What has your opinion, I guess, how has your opinion shifted since the day that he was hired to what he's done so far with the San Francisco Giants?
Well, I couldn't really put my finger on it, actually, until you said something to me, Kerry, on the podcast, and you said he's clearly learned from mistakes he made in Philadelphia. And I think that's true, because when he got here, we were all thinking, boy, there could not be a more opposite guy to Bruce Bochy's managerial style than Gabe Kapler, right? He's not going to trust his gut. He's going to play the numbers. He's going to go to the computer. He's going to do these line shifts, these line changes. And I do think there are times, and to Bill's point about how deep starting pitchers have gone this year, he's managed the pitching staff, I think, this year much differently than he ever managed it last year. And it does make me wonder how big of an impact the catchers are having on that. You know, when you've got a guy like Buster Posey or a guy like Kirk Casale who can sort of lobby for these guys or say, I think maybe this is a situation this guy should stay in, or maybe have their input on how to go about putting together a start or an inning or an at-bat against an opposition, that certainly helped the Giants out. So Gabe Kapler, I think the most obvious point to that is earlier this year when he said, after Johnny Cueto's first start in Seattle, there are going to be times where I go out and I talk to him and I say, hey, we're going to let you stay here. Can you give us another hitter? And you sort of look into a guy's eyes on the mound and you see if he's got it still. And I think he's already proven that. The fact that he did that in the home opener and the fact that guys are going deeper into ball games, and not just deeper, but third times through the lineup now, and sort of trusting guys to be able to, as he says, get up and down more times than they had in previous starts. I think my perception against Kapler is certainly that he's evolving as a manager. He's trusting his guys a little bit more, and since he's got so many veterans, I don't think that's a bad thing. He's got guys who have won championships. So finding trust in his players and finding guys who are having success on the field, I think, play into that, of course. But I think he's done a good job this year. There's not really any dispute. I don't think any fan can have.
You know, Yaz yesterday says that he's not panicking. The team isn't panicking because the batting averages are down and the home run ball is up. What do you think's a confidence builder off that bench right now when guys aren't playing regularly? What do you think they're thinking, and how do you think they adjust coming into the game?
I think it's sort of funny. Like, I think that they've it's weird because generally you go to a ball game and you see, my favorite player is not starting today. You're not going to get to see him. He just, you know, maybe he'll get a pinch hit at bat late. Now it's kind of like if the Giants can get the starting pitcher on the opposing team out of the game and it's maybe a righty and they switch to a lefty, you're going to get to see all your right-handed hitters come into the ball game. So I think the most important element to this is guys know that if they're in uniform and if they have spikes on, there's a really good chance that Gabe Kapler is going to use you, whether it's as a pinch hitter, maybe it's a defensive replacement, maybe it's a double switch. And I think he's pinpointed that pretty great this year. I think they're up to 5 pinch hit home runs. He's pulling guys off the bench who are driving in runs. So guys know that even though it's an off day, it's not a Barry Bonds, well, an off day is an off day. There are no real off days. If you're in uniform, there's a good, and especially if you're Tony DeSclafani and you're not pitching, there's a damn good chance you're going to get into the ballgame, maybe as a pinch hitter or as a pinch runner. So I like that. I like when guys got to be ready. These guys are athletes. They're pro ball players. And I like being aggressive with your pieces, keeping some guys safe, keeping them healthy, but also taking chances. And it's paid off so far in the early part of the season.
It's fun to see Tony DeSclafani come in as a pinch hitter, pinch runner. Reminds me of the day that Noah Lowry played the outfield for the Giants, Copes. That's one of those games that we'll always look back on with a fond memory. Hey, real quick before we let you go, who are you more excited about moving forward, Camilo Doval or Gregory Santos out of the bullpen?
Boy, it's kind of like splitting hairs. I don't know. Why don't we just say Gregory Santos just because he was the more recent major league debut. He's so young. It's super cool that he hadn't pitched above single A because of the kind of the gap year last season. And he was really impressive to be able to locate with the slider. I also love just going back to that catcher element for a minute. Kirk Casale a couple times looked like he was shaking off Gregory Santos. Like, no, man, throw this slider again. Guys are not seeing it. You're pumping it hard. They're not getting a good look at that pitch out of your hand right now. So I don't know. Gregory Santos looks fantastic. They both appear to be guys who have closer like stuff, but the most exciting thing about it is we've seen this around the league for 2 or 3 years now. Every bullpen is full of a stable of these guys. The Tampa Bay Rays have like 10 of these guys coming out of the pen. So it's nice to see the Giants catching up with that. And I think they've got some real, real talent now on the right-handed side of the bullpen. And as long as those guys can continue to throw strikes, that could be a huge buoy for this team down the stretch.
Adam Copeland, thanks again. Good stuff. Enjoy that lasagna and make sure you got a little garlic bread next to it. Kerry Crowley, thanks again. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning, Kerry. We'll be right back as we go into the booth with the Hall of Famer, John Miller, on KNBR, the sports leader.